Returning again to that portion of Scripture that we read earlier, Acts chapter 4. And this evening, as I take up the studies again in the book of Acts, I want to draw your attention to the subject simply entitled Reaction to Persecution. Reaction to Persecution. In this passage of Scripture, we have the reaction of Peter and John to the persecution that they were receiving at the hands of the Jewish authorities. Look with me there at Acts 4, verses 18 to 20. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. But for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Underline verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's precious word tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious truth. We thank thee for the message of the gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege that you've given to us to preach the message of the gospel. And O God, we pray in these days in which we live that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit in order to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. And O God, we recognize, Lord, that in order to do this, we need thy help and thy power. O God, we pray that you'll come, Lord, and that you will bless our meeting tonight. Come and bless thy precious word to all of our hearts and to all of our souls. And we ask thee, Lord, that you would encourage your saints, especially this evening. O God, we look around us in this old world and there's not much to encourage us, but we thank thee that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we know, Lord, that prior to the second coming of Christ, things will wax worse and worse. And O God, we're living in an evil day, a day when men do not want to hear the message of the gospel. They're hostile to the message of thy precious truth. But O God, we pray that in these days, that you would give us, Lord, that strength, Lord, to continue to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. We just thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee, and we know that thy word is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank thee, Lord, that it shall accomplish that whereto thou dost send it. Lord, come tonight, Lord, and teach us afresh the importance of being faithful to thee in the midst of persecution. Bless us now, we pray thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In Acts chapter 3 and 4, we have considered in some detail the circumstances surrounding Peter and John going up to the temple to pray. If you can remember back a few weeks ago, we considered three aspects from this passage of Scripture. First of all, we looked at the men who went up to the temple to pray. Then secondly, we considered the miracle that took place as they went up to pray. And then thirdly, we observed the message that was preached as Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And when we considered the message that was preached as Peter and John went up to pray, we finished off by looking briefly, and it was very briefly, at the opposition that Peter and John encountered as they preached the message of the gospel on this occasion. And we noticed that this opposition came from the religious establishment. Indeed, such was the opposition against Peter and John by the Jewish authorities that they were arrested and put into prison. Tonight, I want you to consider, as I have already said, how Peter and John reacted to this opposition from the Jewish authorities. Child of God, Acts chapter 4 especially reveals to us the devil's attempt to destroy the blessing that was evident in the church of Jesus Christ in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. And what Satan sought to do in Acts chapter 4, he is seeking to do still today in this 21st century. The devil's purpose is to discourage God's people from spreading the message of the gospel. Therefore, you and I need to know how to react to opposition when it comes. And of course, it can come in many different ways. The message tonight in the main is for God's people, though I pray that the Holy Spirit will take the word and apply it to every heart, even those in the meeting tonight who are not saved. But I pray that the Lord will bless our hearts, child of God, and encourage us and strengthen us as we look into a new year, as we consider all the problems and the difficulties we're going to face as we seek to spread the message of the gospel, that the Lord will help us to realize and teach us afresh that his word that goes forth shall not return unto him void. Therefore, we should not be discouraged. Now, the devil will seek to discourage us, and he has sought to discourage us, but nevertheless, the Bible tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And thank God we are on the winning side. And the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And thank God right across this world tonight, the gospel is going forth and men and women and young people are being saved. And thank God the Lord will continue to bring in his church and save precious souls, I believe, right until the day he comes back again to this earth. I want you to notice a number of things, therefore, about the reaction of Peter and John to this opposition. First of all, take a look with me there at verses 5 and 6. I want you to notice that Peter and John showed great boldness in the midst of this opposition. Now, this was great opposition that they were facing here. Look what it says in verse 5 and 6. And it came to pass in the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Here Peter and John were brought before the rulers to be interviewed by the leading men of the nation. It is interesting to note that among those Peter and John were brought before was Caiaphas and Annas. You'll remember that these two men were present at the trial of Christ. Now, we haven't got the time to read the verses, but take the time when you go home, Matthew 26 and verse 3, and John chapter 18 and verse 13. And you will read there about Annas and Caiaphas. And of course, the trial of Christ resulted, as you know, in the Savior being nailed to a cross. Therefore, Peter and John were in a serious situation here. Their very lives were in great danger. And it's important that you see that as you read this passage of Scripture. And all that they had done was, by God's power, heal a lame man and preach the message of the gospel. And because of this, they were arrested, they were put in prison, and now they were being brought before these rulers of the people. And yet, in the midst of the persecution, Peter and John showed great boldness because they stood firm in their witness for Christ. And that's what we have here in this passage of Scripture. Notice a few things regarding their boldness, and I'm just going to mention them very quickly. Look at verse 13. You'll see the character of their boldness. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," these rulers recognized that these men were no ordinary men. They had great boldness in the midst of their persecutors. Peter and John spoke with authority. They spoke with boldness because they were men of course, who were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the reason why they had this holy boldness was because the Lord's power was upon them. Notice the courage in their boldness. They were not ashamed to stand up for Christ. They determined that they were not going to flinch. They demonstrated great courage as they stood before these, their persecutors. They were not ashamed of Christ. They identified themselves with the Savior. Look at verse 9 and 10. And this is what they said. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the important man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. My, what great boldness they displayed here as they stood before those that were seeking to persecute them. They were not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if you look at verses 11 and 12, you will see that they exalted the person of Christ, because this is what they said. This is the stone, referring to Christ. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, here we have men, and they're not flinching in the midst of persecution. The message of Peter and John did not change, although they were standing before the rulers of the people. No matter who the apostles stood before, their message remained the same. They wanted and they continued to exalt the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were consistent at all times. You know, child of God, you and I need a holy boldness today as we seek to stand up for our Savior in this age of great opposition towards the gospel. And we're living in an age of great opposition towards the message of the gospel. The enemies of the gospel would try to cow us. They would try to make us shy away from speaking the truth. In Ulster today, the enemies of Christ are very vocal in their opposition to Bible truth. We think of the sodomites and their agenda. We think of the liberals in our country who want to do away with the standards of God's word, seeking to legalize abortion, wanting religious instruction removed from our schools, and much, much more. And child of God, if there's a day when you and I need more holy boldness to speak forth the truth of the gospel, it is this day in which we live. Turn over with me just for a moment to Acts chapter 5, just the next chapter. We'll be coming to it in these studies, but consider what the Lord told the apostles in Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 18 to 20. It says they laid their hands on the apostles. This is another incident when the apostles faced opposition and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Although we will receive opposition, and although the devil will do everything to hinder the work of God, even in this 21st century, we must continue to preach the message that the Lord has given us to preach. The Bible says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And I know as we look around us today, there's not much to encourage. Times are hard for the Church of Jesus Christ, certainly in this country in which we live. But you know, child of God, you and I have a great Savior, and we have a great message, and we have a great privilege of presenting men and women with the Lord Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel. And whether men will hear or whether they will not hear, our responsibility is to continue to preach Christ and Him crucified. And even when persecution comes, we are to continue to declare the wonderful message of saving grace. Oh, their boldness. And it's important that you see their boldness in the midst of this persecution. But then I want you to take a look again at verse 13. I want you to see, secondly, that Peter and John showed great knowledge and great wisdom in the midst of this opposition. Look what it says in verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful verse, wonderful text of Scripture? These rulers that had brought Peter and John to trial marveled because they regarded Peter and John as unlearned and ignorant men. But after speaking to Peter and John, the rulers realized that these two apostles had great knowledge. You see, these rulers had set themselves apart to study the Scriptures. But Peter and John were only fishermen. And yet these religious rulers found out very quickly that these two disciples were as knowledgeable in the Scriptures as they were. And when they recognized this, the Bible says they marveled. And then the rulers came to the conclusion that these men had this knowledge because they had spent time in the presence of Christ. Look what it says at the end of verse 13. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Well, these men had the knowledge of the Scriptures. The disciples had the knowledge of the Scriptures. But you know, men and women, it is one thing to have knowledge. It is completely another thing to have wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom are completely different. And Peter and John, not only did they demonstrate their knowledge, but they also demonstrated their wisdom. Their wisdom can be seen in that they could interpret the knowledge that they had received correctly. Because they declared that Christ was the Messiah, the one revealed in the Scriptures. Peter and John were men who had knowledge of the Scriptures, but their wisdom was seen in that they recognized that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah of the Scriptures. The rulers of Israel, on the other hand, although they knew the Scriptures, could not see that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah the Scriptures revealed, because they had rejected Christ as the Messiah and nailed him to a cross. The religious leaders had knowledge, but they did not show wisdom. They had no wisdom. They had knowledge, but they had not the discernment to know what the Scriptures were teaching. Men and women, the Jesus of the New Testament is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. To know this and believe this demonstrates great wisdom. It is great to have the knowledge of the Scriptures, but to have the knowledge of the Scriptures without seeing that the Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament is the Messiah of the Old Testament, my, what use is it? Sinner, you may have the knowledge of the Bible tonight, but do you have the wisdom to discern that what the Bible is teaching, and then the wisdom to believe it? Oh, I pray this evening, and here's a word in season for those who are not saved in the meeting. You could be brought up in the things of God, brought up in the Scriptures, right from your earliest days, and yet not have the wisdom to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it is so important, not only to have the knowledge of the Scriptures in your head, but to have the knowledge and the wisdom to turn from your sin and seek the Lord while he may be found, and to know Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior. You see, these disciples revealed that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who had been crucified on the cross, was indeed the Messiah. Oh, I wonder, do you acknowledge tonight? Do you believe tonight? Have you accepted tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Because he is. Indeed, as Peter and John declared here in this passage of Scripture, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, my prayer is that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Because without trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior, then you will never enter heaven when you die. Even as we were finding out this morning, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus, the blessed Son of God. Do you have knowledge? But do you have wisdom? You say you know the Scriptures, but do you know the Christ of the Scriptures? Oh, I pray this evening that even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something else here, but take a look at verse 19 and 20 again, and you'll notice something else. You'll notice, thirdly, that Peter and John showed great determination in the midst of this opposition. Not only did they show great courage, not only did they demonstrate knowledge and wisdom, but you'll notice that they had great determination. Look what it says in verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And when you study this passage of Scripture, after the council had examined Peter and John, three things happened. First of all, the council found themselves in a dilemma. Look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They decided neither to accept or deny the miracle. Now, they couldn't deny the miracle, but they weren't going to admit that the miracle had taken place publicly. So they were in a dilemma. And then look at verse 15 and 16. The council made a deliberation, because it says here, and when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. In their deliberation, they sought to avoid rather than accept the truth. They were looking away whereby they could condemn Peter and John. But they knew that they couldn't condemn them because of this great miracle that had taken place. But they still made the wrong decision. Take a look at the council's decision in verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them that they speak henceforth no more to no man in this name. In other words, they forbid them to preach the message of the gospel. Now, in the light of this decision of the council, we can see the determination of Peter and John to serve God rather than men. Peter and John were determined to do what was right. They were determined to obey God rather than men. Look at verse 19 and 20 again. In the context, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Here, Peter and John, they were determined, come what may, that they were going to continue to preach the message that God had called them to preach and that Christ had commanded them to preach. You remember before the Lord Jesus went home to heaven again after his resurrection, before he ascended up into heaven, he gave the disciples the great commission, and that great commission was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here was this council trying to stop them from preaching that message. And they forbid them to preach the message of the gospel. But we can see the determination here of Peter and John in the midst of this opposition, because they declared that they would continue to preach Christ and Him crucified. We cannot but speak They said, the things which we have seen and heard. You see, the truth is, when the laws of men are in direct opposition to the laws of God, child of God, you and I must honor God, even if that means breaking the laws of men. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had to ask themselves a question. Is it right in the sight of God to stop preaching because ungodly authorities have threatened us? And they determined that it was better to please the Lord rather than to please men. And they determined that they were going to keep on preaching the message of the gospel. As Peter and John determined to continue to be faithful to the Lord, spreading the message of the gospel. And you know, child of God, as we look into the future, even in this country of ours, we don't know what the future holds. But we know this, that across this world tonight, there are many of God's people, and they have been put into prison. They're in prison tonight because they preach the gospel. And that's the only reason why they're in prison. Many of them have lost their lives because they refuse to stop obeying God. There are many examples, of course, in the Bible of God's servants being persecuted because they were faithful to God rather than men. And of course, the two greatest examples that we have in the Bible can be found in the book of Daniel. Turn over just for a moment to the book of Daniel. First of all, to Daniel chapter 6. And you'll all be familiar with Daniel, the man who daily prayed three times. And of course, in Daniel's day, the king introduced a law that no one should pray to any God apart from him, apart from his statue. Look what it says there in Daniel 6, verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. There we have Daniel, and he's refusing to listen to the decrees of men. He's refusing to listen to the laws of men because they came into direct conflict with the laws of God. And Daniel here prays. And of course, you know the result of that. He was taken and cast into the den of lions. But the Lord took care of him. And of course, the other example is the three Hebrew children. Turn back to Daniel chapter 3, and you'll read these words in verses 17 and 18. And the Hebrew children could say this: if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And of course, we're familiar with this story of how the king set up this image and told all the people of the nation to bow down to it. And of course, the three Hebrew children refused to do so. It was a law, but they refused to do so. And they said in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And of course, because of that, they were cast into the fiery furnace. And yet the Lord delivered them from that fiery furnace. We know the story so well. But there are examples of persecution. And down through the history of the church, God's people have been persecuted. And the devil will see to it, even in this 21st century, that God's people will be persecuted for preaching the truth and standing up for the truth. But these men, you see, had a directive from God. And the truth is that when the laws of men contradict the laws of God, it is the laws of God that we must keep irrespective of the consequences. And that's what's happening here in Acts chapter 4. But you can see here that God's servants are continuing to stand up for truth and for righteousness. Oh, child of God, as we look in to this new year, we don't know what it holds, but our responsibility and our duty is still the same as God's people and as the Church of Jesus Christ. We have been given a message, the message of the gospel, and it is our responsibility to spread that message of the gospel. Whoever will hear or whoever will not hear, and whether there's opposition or not, it is better to obey God rather than man. Oh, I wonder tonight as we come to bring the meeting to a close, again, are there those here tonight and you're not saved? You've never identified yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You don't know Him as Lord of your life. And you've never repented of your sin and trusted Him alone as your own and personal Redeemer. Oh, my friend, if you haven't, then come to Christ this evening. Put your faith and trust in Him. And praise God, He will save you not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. And child of God, those of us who are saved, let us stand up for Christ in these days. Let us continue to serve Him with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. We have only one life. It'll soon be past. And only what's done for Jesus will last. And whatever the opposition, whatever the world says, let us be faithful to the God of heaven. And let us be like Peter and John in the midst of their opposition. Let us be bold for Christ. Let us go forward exercising wisdom and preaching Christ and declaring unto men that He is the Savior. And let us be determined, come what may, that we will go through with God, our vows to pay, our lives upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to us God's very best. Oh, may God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let us pray.